Final segment of In Focus comes your way next here on News Radio KMAN as we continue our conversation with City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler. City Commission again meets at 7 p.m. tonight, their final meeting of 2021. And, you know, I kind of look back here on this year of everything that's gone on. I imagine, you know, probably a little easier to reflect on this year than it was last year, even though it's still, we're still kind of going through COVID here. But overall, I think this has been a better year than 2020, would you say?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Certainly seen some recovery, you know, for our local businesses. So it's been certainly better for the city budget from that standpoint, and the revenue, you know, from not just meeting expectations but exceeding. We're up about almost, I think we'll be close to $700,000 surplus sales tax revenue. A lot of that's been from the online sales tax that's the legislature and the governor put in place, which leveled that playing field. I worried about, you know, whether people would come back to our brick and mortar stores, and clearly they have, and they've also continued to shop online. So that's been a benefit. I hope that trend continues, because it has been an unfair playing field for online vendors. And COVID, I think, certainly forced a lot of our local businesses to have more of an online presence where they weren't competing very well. So, you know, that's something that just, you know, check locally first. You know, it's convenient to check that and give them our support. They're doing a lot to try and bring those services here, and you certainly have been pleased. It looks like a lot of folks are out enjoying the holidays, and you know, the numbers of COVID keep going up, you know, and that's been quite the I call it the COVID merry-go or the COVID roller coaster ride. So just when we think we're about solving it, we get a new variant, and somebody builds a new galoop in the roller coaster. But I think we've learned a lot. You know, we've learned things that have worked fairly well to help, and others that maybe haven't. They've been more detrimental. So, you know, again, just as we go into the holidays, we hope people continue to use cautious, but they enjoy getting together with each other as well. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the economic rebound's been nice to see here, and hopefully that will just continue on. I can't remember, is it the city or the county that's been doing the discussion on short-term rental licenses? Is that
a little of both, actually? Okay. The county actually passed some legislation to do some regulation of short-term rentals. We've been studying the issue. We had a work session, I think that was back in August, with the commissioners. Relative to, we have a lot of short-term rentals. Some of them are collecting that transient guest tax now, but it's not it's one of those things where if you want to insure that, then you really need to license them. So if you're going to license them, you need some kind of control mechanism that ensures that they are registering and providing that revenue stream. So it's something we'll continue to look at. Certainly, that since Riley County's put it in place, it's something that we're looking at, something that would be similar to what they have. I don't think they have quite as many in the numbers, but it's one of those things that I think it's inevitable and something we should be in the business of certainly regulating. We have a kind of an unfair playing field between bed and breakfast type entities, which we do have quite a few controls of in the neighborhood, and then they may have a neighboring house that just happens to be a short-term rental that isn't subject to those same provisions. So those are some of those conflicts that we're aware of, and certainly we have as a very significant numbers of short-term rentals in college communities. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things that something we should be looking at and working in to create some of that fairness.
Well, no doubt, you do something like that with the licensing, the question is going to be, well, what's the cost and where does that money go?
Right.
And that's still to be determined at this
right.
point.
Well, and it's going to take people to enforce that licensing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to mention just one other thing. On Ron was talking about contracts for social services, and what a lot of people aren't aware of in the city is the fact that you can donate on your water bill to social services. And the nice part about it is we started that maybe 6-7 years ago, And it hasn't grown as well as I'd hoped because, you know, my goal was to, you know, get an average of $1 per water bill per month. And if we did that, it would really significantly increase input because the nice part is there's no overhead. You know, when you donate on your water bill, every single penny will go to social services because the city just collects it as part of the process. So if you're interested, you know, on the city website, when you do your water bill, you can just indicate that you want to add $1 a month or $5 a month or whatever you like, and that'll go directly to the social services. And, of course, right now, as Ron said, you know, that's about $500,000 in tax dollars every year that goes to them. It's hard to increase that number because we don't have unlimited property tax. But if you want to contribute to social services, here's a sure way to do it. And it's controlled by the Social Services Advisory Board, and it's just the local agencies. And so it's a great way to support Manhattan. So I encourage you to take a look at that if you're not donating now.
All right. That's a great plug there. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot of from the breadbasket on the mayor's food drive. Have you gotten any word on collection?
That was pretty good. On the parade, we got, I think, a lot more canned goods than we thought. In fact, at the start of the parade, we didn't even put them in the carts because somebody brought 200 pounds, you know, this stuff right up, and we put it right in the truck. So she did pretty good. The only casualty is, of course, the banner. If you go by West Loop, the mayor's holiday food drive banner is completely shredded and hanging on the cables up there. So we're going to have to get a new one of those for next year.
All right. Good enough. Well, I know we just got a couple minutes left here. I might just ask you, Ron, I know you spoke to the Pottawatomie County Commission meeting yesterday. I didn't have a chance to listen through that yet. What did you share with them?
Yeah, I just kind of gave them some updates on some of the things we talked about here previously. We talked about some of the storm damage. As I said, some of the projects coming up, the Anderson project. We do have the levee project, obviously, which impacts them. One of the things that we're thankful for this past year is we're moving forward with a new joint maintenance facility, and that'll be under construction all of next year. But as one of the benefits of us pursuing that, we've been trying to pursue some intersection improvements at the intersection of Levee Drive and US 24, the south leg of that is an entrance to that joint maintenance facility, goes back to our wastewater treatment plant. Some of the West Star facilities are back there. And so we were informed by KDOT that we're going to get a full grant to signalize that intersection and put in turning lanes. And so that's anticipated to go to bid early next summer. And then have that completed by the time our joint maintenance facility is completed, probably early 23. So that was great news. Shared that with them. You know, one of the things that we reinitiated was the annexation study. So they asked for an update on that. I do anticipate that coming forward probably next month to the commission. And again, that's a feasibility study looking at the city potentially growing to the east, and that's something our master plan actually and comprehensive plan actually calls for. So just looking at the pros and cons of that, and so we'll have that report. And so I shared that with them and told them we'd be providing them with a copy of that at the time.
All right. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch. It'll be certainly good to look into next month. Anything else? You guys are you spending the holidays here in town? Are you going traveling?
We are spending it locally and got some family coming back, so back home. So, looking forward to, sounds like it's going to be warmer than normal, which has kind of been the case. We could use a little moisture. It's a little dry out there, yeah. But, just appreciative of the holiday. And I should mention that city offices are going to be closed Thursday and Friday in observance of the Christmas holidays. And so, back open on next week on Monday.
And I guess we'll have some New Year's events. I think the Discovery Center's got the kids' New Year's thing. I plan on stopping by there. They do about 8:30, I think, is when they celebrate New Year's there for the kids so they can go on home. And then I think I'll stop by down in Aggieville at the Bluemont Hotel. I think they're going to have their little ball drop in a different place this year. So looking forward to New Year's. That'll be the next big events.
And then just plug the first meeting in January. January 4th is when we have the swearing in of Commissioner-elect Mata, and say thank you to Commissioner Esterbrook. And we're rescheduling that to 5:30 primarily because of the bowl game. That's really about the only action. We'll pay a few bills and a couple other things, but pretty short meeting. Then on the 5th is our legislative luncheon, inviting our Kansas legislators to come visit with us about legislative initiatives.
Okay, very good. Well, guys, wish you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll see you again here in a couple weeks. That's going to wrap up our program here today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll hear from our folks up in Riley County and Blue Valley Schools, and we'll get a preview of the Manhattan Christmas dinner tomorrow as well.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. Moving up on 10 a.m., Ken Coleman, Dave Ramsey, Dan Patrick. The game begins at 4, K-State basketball coverage at 6.